heard a story about a businessman who left his downtown building. He was in such a hurry. He had just left one meeting. He was headed four or five blocks away to another meeting. He just didn't have time. Didn't have time to stop. Didn't have time to talk. Didn't have time for lunch. Didn't have time. And he was making his way down this busy street filled with other people who didn't have time, when as he walked down the street, he noticed a little boy about 10 years old standing in front of a store, staring in the window. And as the man got closer, he began to wonder, what is it this boy is looking at? What is so important to him? And so when he got to that place, he stopped for just a second, and he stood beside the boy, and he looked in the window, and he discovered he was in front of an art gallery, and inside that window was a beautiful graphic depiction of Christ on the cross. And he just stopped, and he looked for a few seconds. The little boy looked at him, and he said, "That's Jesus. I know. They hung him on that cross. I know. That's a crown of thorns on his head. You see those men down at the bottom? Those are Roman soldiers. They killed him. They put those nails in his hands, and he died." The man looked at him, and he said, "Son, how did you learn so much about what's on this picture?" And he said, "Oh, I learned that in Sunday school. That's the kind of thing they teach us." The man stood and just looked at this picture for a little while. And then he remembered that he was supposed to be busy. As he saw the crowds passing by, as he began to realize, not only are people hurrying places, he has places to be, and they're getting there before he does, and he better get back in the mainstream. And he stepped away, and he began to walk down the street again. He got almost to the corner of the block, and he heard this little voice, and it said, "Mister, mister, mister." And he turned around, and there stood the little boy, and he said, "Mister, I almost forgot to tell you, he rose again." Sometimes it's all about what you take the time to see. That's what I like about the way that the Gospel of John describes the resurrection of Christ. John makes it very, very personal. And he describes that morning when Jesus rose in very personal ways through the eyes of some of the people who were there. Let me show you what I mean. He begins with the eyes of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who with some other women made their way to the tomb very early in the morning. Maybe you've heard that story. Maybe you haven't. Early in the morning, they made their way to the place where Jesus had been buried and left for the Sabbath. And they were coming back not because they expected anything dramatic to happen, but because there hadn't been time to prepare his body to bury him. And they wanted to do things in the most respectful way possible. But John says, as they got close to the tomb, Mary Magdalene realized something's wrong. And as the light began to be a little bit brighter, as the darkness began to flee away, she realized that the stone that had covered the tomb where Jesus lay had been rolled away. And the first thing she thought was, "He's gone. He's gone. It wasn't enough to kill him. They've taken his body. They want to make sure we have nothing left to remember. He's gone." And immediately she turned around and began to make her way back into Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene was not among those women who would be standing there a little while later to hear the angels who would say, "You seek Jesus, he's not here, he's risen." All she knew was somebody stole his body, and she made her way to Peter and to John. She wanted them to know something's wrong. They've taken his body. And immediately the Bible says that the two of them got up and they ran together to the garden tomb. And there John shows what happened. But he sees through the eyes of these two apostles. To really understand what happened to them, you need to understand this though. In those eight verses that we read together a little while ago, John uses three different words. Three of the eight Greek words that can be used to describe what it means to see. And each one of them means something very, very different. And to understand, you have to understand what they saw. So let's join together. Let's jump in here and let's see what the Bible says about the resurrection of Easter Sunday morning. And the first thing the Bible says is this. It says John could only see what he expected to see. The Bible says, if you read in the Gospel of John, it says the two of them ran together, but John ran faster. That makes sense. He was the youngest of the disciples. He was the strongest and most nimble. And he made his way to the tomb first. And he walked in, and here's how the Bible describes his reaction. It says, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. And the word for seeing that John uses at this point is the Greek term blepo. Blepo. Sounds like you're bleeping something, doesn't it? Don't hear that word. Blepo. It's a term that means observing, but not necessarily understanding. You see it, you're just not sure what it is you're looking at. Let me explain. This is what blepo is all about. The best way I can describe it is say this. It's the way you respond when somebody says to you, well, look at that car over there. And you look at it and you think, there it is, it's another car. It's a red car. It's a nice car. It's another car. It's what they say between look at that car and that's your new car, which changes everything about the way you see it. And the Bible says when John first got to the tomb, he stood there and he looked inside and he saw what he expected to see. You see, this is what I think is going on. As John is making his way to the tomb, he begins to think about what Mary has said. Mary said, I went to the garden. The stone was rolled away. They've taken the body. And I think as he was running, John began to think, maybe she just didn't understand. She went to the tomb, she saw the stone, but she never looked any further. She just assumed the body of Jesus was missing. Maybe she was wrong about everything that happened. Maybe he's there just the way he was the last time we saw him when he was dead and being buried. So the Bible says he got to the tomb and he looked in the tomb and he thought that he saw exactly what he expected to see. The body of Christ. The Bible says he saw the linen cloths and that pillow, that linen, they call it a handkerchief that was made for his head. And he thought, he's there. Just like we thought he would be there. Now, for you to really understand what John saw, you need to understand a little bit about the tomb where Jesus had been laid, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Because if you stood at the doorway of that tomb and looked inside, you would look down a short corridor, about 5 or 6 feet, that led into the tomb. And then there would be these shelves where bodies were laid, to the left and to the right. But unless you're inside, you really can't see clearly. You're kind of seeing, but you're seeing around the corner. And all that John saw was that it looked like Jesus was still there. He assumed that's the body, just where it had been placed. There was no need to look any further. It seemed to him that nothing had changed. This Easter, I think there are a lot of people who see Resurrection Sunday through blepo eyes. All they see is what's right in front of them, and they can't see what it means. For some, it's just a day for families to get together. You see what the Easter Bunny brought you, hide some eggs, you share a meal, and that's really all that goes on for Easter. It's just another day for having fun. For some people, it's a day to go to church. But you go because you feel like you ought to go. Sometimes because your grandparents are going to be there looking for you. Sometimes because it's a great opportunity to get dressed up and take some pictures. And you feel better. But that's all that really happens. There are even some who are believers, but they've kind of forgotten what makes this day so special. Oh, they can tell you the facts and they understand it, and it's not that they don't believe it, it's just that it doesn't stir them. It's kind of lost the impact of the fact that we worship a risen Savior that nobody in history before and nobody since has ever defeated death, but Jesus did. And he did it so that he could take us from being forgiven of our sins to everlasting life. The most phenomenal thing that has ever happened, and yet somehow it's lost its impact. Whoever loses sight of the resurrection can't see the truth that has changed all of eternity. When Easter comes and you can only see what is in front of you, you are looking through blepo eyes. But John's not through. He says Peter was the second one to arrive, and he needed to see more. The Bible says, then Simon Peter came, and following him, went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. He saw it. But John changes the term again. And here he uses the second word for see. It is the Greek word theoreo, which means to look very closely and investigate. If you're thinking our word theory comes from that word, you would be exactly right. It's a word that you would use to describe what a police detective is all about. He goes to the scene. He seeks out the clues. He looks at the evidence. He seeks to draw some conclusions. He wants to know what happened here. And Peter pushed past John, and he went directly into the tomb. He wanted to examine the scene. I want to see what's going on. I've already heard from Mary that they've taken the body. I've seen John, and John stopped outside the tomb. He's looked in, but he didn't go in. I want to know what's going on in that place. Peter makes his way into the tomb, and this is what he discovered. The burial clothes were there exactly the way that John had seen them. They were the cloths that had been wrapped around Christ's body, and near them that separate cloth that had been used to cradle his head, but there was no body. Jesus was gone. Well, now, Mary said they'd taken the body. But here's what Peter couldn't figure out. The burial clothes were there, but they were undisturbed. You would believe that if someone had taken the body of Christ, they would have done one of two things. Either they would have ripped the grave cloths off the body and thrown them in a corner somewhere, or they would have picked up the body, grave clothes and all, and tried to get out of the tomb as quickly as possible before anybody came. But that's not what Peter saw. You know what Peter saw? Peter saw the grave clothes exactly the way they were when Jesus had been laid there. It was almost as though they formed a cocoon. There was a cavity around the body. It was almost like Jesus had just gone through those things and left them behind and never disturbed them. Peter tried to understand what had happened. It didn't make sense to him. There are a lot of people in Peter's shoes this Easter as well. They've seen the evidence. They've heard the testimony. They've heard about the cross and the empty tomb. They've tried to figure out what it all means. Just like Miss Cindy did with our children a while ago, confessed, I can't explain it all. I don't understand it all. None of us really do. They've tried to figure it all out. What does it mean? But they just can't find a logical explanation for how a dead person can live again. It's not so much that they reject Jesus, it's that they can't find enough reason to accept him either. They struggle to come up with some explanation that can describe who Jesus was and what Jesus did and how this could happen. The reason people struggle with explaining what Jesus did on that first Easter Sunday is simply this. You can't explain it because Jesus is the one and only. You can't say Jesus was like, what Jesus did was sort of like. Jesus is sort of like, similar to, he's not like anything. He's the one and only Son of God, the one and only sacrifice for sin, the one and only person who has ever conquered death, hell, and the grave, and rose again. And here's the truth. You cannot figure out Easter by yourself. If the story ended with Peter walking in and saying, well, I see all of this, but I don't understand it and I can't explain it, then we still wouldn't know why we are people of hope today. But John was not through. The Bible says John followed Peter into the tomb. And this is how he described what happened next. The Bible says, and the other disciple came to the tomb first and went in also, and he saw and believed. And in this verse, John uses a third verb, and it is the Greek word eidon. Eidon. It is a word that means to see and understand. Eidon is a word that's used to describe a moment of revelation. It's like when you hear the person who says, Eureka, I found it. Look. There it is. It's the kind of a word that would be used when parents have lost their child in a shopping mall and they've been searching frantically and they can't find him. And then suddenly one says, there he is. I see him. I see it. Eidon. I see. It describes what happens when God shows us what we cannot discover without him. The Bible says John stood exactly where Peter stood. He saw exactly what Peter saw. And yet instead of saying, I can't figure this out, he was the first one to believe in the risen Lord. What was the difference? He saw through the eyes of faith. And that changed everything. God opened his eyes and John saw with clear eyes and he remembered all that the Lord had tried to tell them. And he remembered those times when Jesus would be describing how he was going to be crucified and how he was going to be and how he was going to die and how he was going to rise again. And he and the other disciples would say, don't talk to us about that. We don't understand it. We don't want to hear it. Keep it away from us. And yet suddenly, John says, I understand. It makes sense now. I see what God was trying to tell us. Eidon eyes are eyes that see with faith, and it is faith that makes all the difference. It always has. There comes that point in every person's life where God begins to make it plain. And you begin to say, I see, I believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is the risen Savior. I begin to see and understand Jesus is not just a great man. Jesus is not just a holy man. Jesus is all man, but he is also all God. And he came here because he wanted to save people. And he came here so that we could have the truth and so we could know eternal life. And he beat back death and he rose again so that we could follow him into everlasting life. And you reach a point where you say, I trust him. I make him my Lord. You may be here today and Easter's never meant that much to you. Maybe you've heard the story. Maybe you know the facts. but you've never trusted the Savior. Today could be that day when God makes it clear. Here's what you have to do to believe. You have to believe that Jesus died on a cross, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. You have to believe that He rose from the dead and opened the door to everlasting life. And then you have to believe one more thing. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He lives in eternity. And He did it all for me. For me. Because when all the smoke clears and when you see what you need to see, you have to understand it is incredibly personal. It doesn't matter if you believe the facts, if you don't believe the Savior. It doesn't matter if you know what Easter is all about and you've never given your heart to Him. It doesn't matter why you're here unless you're here to have an encounter with God. Today can be that day in your life. We began this service with a baptism service celebrating one who had a personal relationship with Jesus, who gave his life for Him and who gave his life back to that Savior. And maybe you're here today and you need to be the next one. You need to be the one who says, I see. He died for me. I can have everlasting life. I can have a personal relationship with God. I can be forgiven of my sins. I can be made whole because He did it for me. And today, I choose to trust Him because that's really what it's all about. It's all about making that choice to trust Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, and to be your Lord. Are you ready to trust Him today? Maybe you're here today. This may be the first time in your life that you've really heard the story of Easter in a way that made sense. That's because the Lord is speaking to you. Don't tell Him no. Maybe you're here today and you came knowing it's time for me to come to know Christ as Savior. Maybe you came today waiting for someone to say a word that would speak to you. Just a moment, we're going to have our invitation hymn. It's going to be your chance to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to be standing here. Rich is going to be standing here. We would love so much to introduce you to the Savior. Today could be your day of salvation. What a wonderful Easter that would be. Is God speaking to you? Do you see what you need to see? Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.